themselves at the prince and his warband. Battle cries and all manner of damned weaponry cut through the air. It was a bloody free-for-all, an unspoken quest to be the last champion standing on the bridge. Zuvius became one with the slaughter. He needed no invitation. With his Hexen guard fighting behind him, and the sorcerers of the Unseeing casting nearby champions into horrific new forms, Zuvius fought his way across the bridge. In the shadow of the Varen Spire, and with, he hoped, the gaze of the three-eyed king upon him, Zuvius killed for his new master, for his place in the ranks of the Varen Guard, for the Ever-Chosen's entertainment, and for his own murderous whim. Zuvius moved through the dread butchery. Cornate savages jangled with teeth and skulls while swinging serrated axe-blades at sorcerers who smouldered with unnatural powers, Slaaneshi hedonists gutted Nurgle's children, who were already one with their own agonies. The diseased, in turn, seemed desperate to spread their suffering to all. The greatest hostility seemed to erupt between champions of the same patron. Blood knights on horseback hacked their way through barbarian hordes pledged to Khorne, while the witch breeds and warriors of the Great Changer couldn't take their eyes off one another for fear of the treachery they all too well knew existed in the hearts of their compatriots. Mouthing dark enchantments and blasting Zeechian flame at one another, they created a spectacular firestorm of mutually assured death and damnation. No champion of Chaos wished to show their weakness before Archaon and his monstrous shrine fortress, especially not the Prince of Embers. Zuvius stabbed and skewered servants of the Dark Prince, who moaned their ecstasies while impaled on the demon-forged weapon. The infected spilled pus and entrails before his boots. Monstrous knights in bone-lined armour stained their plate with their own gore as Zuvius passed his heavy blade through their throats. He stove in the skulls of warrior enchanters like himself before the cursed incantations that resided there could reach blue Zeechian lips. As Zuvius fought up the walkway, with unnatural flame roaring about him from the broad infernal moat, he noticed the demonic furies thunderbolting from the sky. Bringing their leathery wings in close, the fiends snatched warriors from the many walkways leading up to the great iron gates and portcullises of the castle. Tearing horses apart and tossing the remains of Chaos warriors between them like ragdolls, the flocks of furies seemed to delight in their sport. Champions screamed as they were dropped from the storm-wracked skies and knocked into the roaring inferno that surrounded the Varen Spire. As the warriors of Chaos killed each other, the demons thinned out their number further, protecting the Varen Spire from those who would threaten it. Zuvius tried to remain calm as the champions he was fighting were torn from the walkway about him and savaged by the flying monsters. A ragged fury landed on one of the Hexen Guard and proceeded to snap his head from his shoulders and feast on his warped flesh. Zuvius heard Sir Abriel issue the low groan of an order. The Hexen Guard brought up their battered shields. Striding on towards the fortress, buried in the shadow of the Varen Spire's mighty walls, the Prince of Embers held his nerve. The raw stench of death was intoxicating. He drank it in, uncaring of the demons that swooped by. The Fury's attacks became ever more savage and indiscriminate. A muscle-bound barbarian of the Blood God, as broad as he was tall, was knocked from the walkway and into the flames below. A bloated knight of Nurgle exploded with the rank gases of decomposition as a demon sank its talons into him, while a smooth-skinned marauder screamed in pleasure as he was dragged up into the sky and shredded. Zuvius tried not to flinch as another of his Hexen Guard was snatched from the walkway, and his flesh stretched between winged monstrosities trying to tear him apart. A moaning sorcerer of the Unseeing was next, and then another, the wretches never setting eyes upon the horrors that were their end. Zuvius felt the blood-bead eyes of some plummeting beast upon him. It was a thing unknowing of the Prince of Ember's destiny. Zuvius's gauntlets tightened about the shaft of his glaive. He killed the cornate crusader before him, knowing the fury was sweeping down towards him. With savage beats of its wings it surged, claws and talons ready for the kill. The prince held on for as long as he could. As he turned the glaive to present it to the beast, however, the thing's infernal reflexes saved it. Crashing down onto the walkway, it skidded and hauled its head back. Zuvius swung the glaive about him with a devastating reach, but it was not enough. The arc of the blade should have passed straight through the monster's ugly skull, but instead whistled past it, incensing the beast. Screeching its rage, it drew others from the sky and away from their slaughter. Zuvius felt a throng of furies, all enraged by the champion's challenge, swoop down towards him. Like some hellish hound, the fury on the walkway snapped and shot forward. Jabbing with the glaive, Zuvius held the creature's blood-stained jaws at bay. Pretending that he hadn't seen another fury dropping down at him with outstretched talons, the Tzeentian kept his focus on the beast in front of him before bringing the weapon up suddenly. Skewering the airborne monster with the force of its own momentum, Zuvius heaved it aside, smashing it into the stone of the walkway. As the first demon surged, it found the thrash of wing and claw and the spear point of Zuvius's glaive. Holding tightly onto the weapon as the thing impaled itself, the champion leaned back out of the snapping, spitting death rattle of the beasts. As a third landed behind the sorcerer, cracking the stone, Zuvius unleashed the sorcerous power of the glaive. With the weapon still skewered through the demons, he blasted the newcomer off the walkway with a stream of lightning. A scraps of the creature and a mist of infernal blood hissed across the surface of the flames below. More furies swooped in on Zuvius. Putting his boot against demon flesh, he freed his glaive from the bodies of the impaled creatures. Behind him, the unseeing moaned their blind fear, and the Hexen Guard stood with shields raised. "Protect your prince!" Zuvius ordered, prompting the Tzeentian knights to run forward and surround him. Beasts smashed their horned heads against the blue steel and tried to push their snaggle-toothed jaws between the shields. Sir Abriel put his ghastly form between Zuvius and an attacking fury, distracting the creature, while the Prince of Embers thrust his glaive over the knight's shoulder and into the demon's open mouth. Retracting the polearm and pulling half the monster's warped skull out of its jaws with it, Zuvius turned to find another fury almost on top of him. The beast reared and brought up a wicked claw, aiming to rip down through the Tzeentian champion. Its eye bulged suddenly, and its jaws chomped in surprise as its flesh suddenly rebelled against it. Bones broke within it, and leathery skin stretched over the new form it was taking. As it fell to one side, Zuvius could see a sorcerer of the unseeing behind, visiting the damnation of his dark magic on the thing. It suddenly came at Zuvius, morphing into something warped, ungainly, and even more terrifying than before. The prince ducked a pair of jaws within jaws and rolled between the spawn's erupting legs. As it turned to reacquire him, the wretch sorcerer visited his dark visions upon the demon once more, twisting and sculpting the monster into ever more horrific forms. As a second head and a pincer ruptured from the body, Zuvius batted them aside with the pommel of his glaive. Aiming the opening metal eye of the weapon at the abomination, he prepared to blast it to shreds. But the transformation inflicted upon it by the unseeing finally, horribly, wrung the life out of the creature. As Orfeo Zuvius and his warband fought their way towards the fortress, other warriors of Chaos kept their distance. Some even watched with bitter amusement as demons rained from the sky to attack their competition. Zuvius spat. He would kill them all. Flicking infernal ichor from his glaive, Zuvius turned around and then around again. Up until now, there had always been some winged thing behind him ready to pounce. Suddenly there was not. Looking up, he saw that rather than hauling off or losing interest, small throngs of furies were simply hovering, flapping their bat-like wings. They were waiting for something. The fortress before him shimmered in shadow and heat. Zuvius looked about. Something was not right. In fact, everything seemed wrong. The flames around them seemed higher.
"Malefax!"
the prince called, catching his breath.
"My lord!"
the bird squawked, swooping in to land on the warrior's shoulder.
"Fly on ahead!" Zuvius ordered. "I want to know what we're walking into."
Zuvius could see now a tidal wave of fire rising through the flames surrounding the fortress. It was a doom conjured by Archaon's fell sorcerers. Roaring its way around the Veyran spire, the wave would engulf the elevated walkway. That was why the Furies had taken to the skies. Zuvius would be damned before he let himself be seared free of the Vaeran Spire like an insignificant insect.
Hexengard, the Prince of Embers called. Form up and lock shields!
Sir Abriel and his Zinchian knights moved to create a shell of battered blue steel. Bringing in the unseeing behind the shield wall, Zuvius watched for warriors of chaos attempting to take advantage of their distraction. A mounted Slaaneshi warlord in immaculate plate looked down his nose at Zuvius. Cornate killers, bedecked in spikes and horned helms, fought on towards the Vaeran Spire. A nearby figure stood regarding Zuvius and the shield wall with suspicion. The champion was a Zinchian warrior whose ensorcelled blade crackled with dark energies. He held out the weapon between Zuvius and himself as a warning, slipping off his helmet. A nest of tentacles that had been squirming within dribbled down his breastplate like a beard. The change-blessed warrior regarded Zuvius with dead, deep-sea eyes before considering the apocalyptic tsunami of flame rolling towards them. Shouting to his cerulean-skinned followers, the champion of Zinch and his horde of warrior witch-breeds took cover behind the shield wall of the Hexengard. A chain reaction was initiated along the stone walkway. Champions and the servants of chaos behind Zuvius saw what was happening and saw the blaze encroaching with their own eyes. Some emulated the Hexengard, locking shields, if they had them, to present a unified front against the wall of flame. Others abandoned their warped steeds, skidding and scrabbling down behind blue steel. Zuvius watched as a hulking warrior of Nurgle ran towards him, slimy, pale rolls of fat spilling out of his rusted chainmail. The warrior shook the stone beneath Zuvius's feet with his determined steps, grubs, maggots, and leeches raining from his blight-festered flesh as he ran. Ducking down behind the shield wall, Zuvius waited for the blast wave. The Zinchian smiled to himself. He cared nothing for the followers of other fell gods, disciples of his own or champions of chaos competing with him for the Ever-Chosen's favour. He only cared for what might be achieved through saving their lives in the undoubted challenges to come. Zuvius heard the boom of the inferno against the shield wall and felt the shudder of the stone walkway. He watched the Lord of Decay's monstrous warrior disappear in a rush of flame. Slaaneshi swordsmen on steaming horseback lost their race with the firestorm, while there was little the blades, muscle, and fury of the blood gods' brutes could do to save them in the face of such fiery destruction. The Prince of Embers felt his hair burn and his flesh blister. The raging flame boomed about him, and then it was gone. The Hexengard unlocked their shields, and the Chaos Warriors that had sheltered behind them brought up their heads. They watched the bank of flame roll away. Zuvius heard the flapping of wings. Malefax was back. He had flown above the fire and scouted out the fortress approach, its portcullis gate and defences.
"The gate?" Zuvius asked as the bird landed on the blade of the glaive.
"Carnage, my lord," Malefax told him. "The gate stands firm against all assaults. Archaon's warriors wait within."
"And the wall itself?"
"Cheer!"
Malefax told him.
"There's no way in."
"There's always a way in," Zuvius growled.
"There has to be. All those who stand in service of Archaon within once stood beyond the fortress walls." Zuvius knew he had to keep pressing forward. He wasn't going to wait for the infernal wave to come back around. He wasn't going to wait for the Furies to attack again. He had saved the warriors of chaos on the walkway. If he could just get them and others into range of the fortress's warped defences, a retaliatory assault on the Vaeran Spire might be able to achieve some momentum. He would lead by example, down a doomed path the warriors of chaos had already chosen. Zuvius ran. The bridge between him and the Vaeran Spire was all but clear of warriors. Only those champions already close to the Vaeran Spire's walls had managed to find shelter from the bank of flame, and, hiding in the architectural flourishes of the dread fortification, they had survived the inferno. Now they were dying. Arms of sorcerous stone shot out from the Vaeran Spire wall, grabbing warriors and dragging them to their deaths in the solidifying wall. Boiling spawn flesh spurted from the mouths of demonic gargoyles decorating the ramparts, splattering down on the warriors below. Coated in liquid horror, the spawn flesh assumed the shape of lesser demons that assimilated the warriors' dissolving forms. Braziers situated either side of the gate smouldered with a debilitating fog that, when breathed in, afflicted the victim with blistering burns to the skin, an agonizing blindness, and a lung-curdling cough. Arrow slits sang with the thud and whoosh of crossbows and monstrous spear-shooting ballistas. Each bolt was crafted from hell-forged iron and carried a bound demon within. Even if a striking bolt or spear failed to kill an approaching warrior, the blood-mad demon that bled from the iron to possess the injured victim shredded both their flesh and soul. Zuvius ran towards the fortress, with his warband following, while the knights, butchers, and swordsmen who had taken shelter behind the shield wall stomped across the bridge after him. Zuvius didn't care whether this was out of a desire to kill him or to attack the Varenspire. Once they were in range of its dread defences, intentions would matter little. The Chaos Fortress was a challenge that could not be ignored. The Chaos Warriors accelerated across the bridge. The energy of their charge was almost infectious. Blood Knights in full plate, wasted warriors in leper's robes, barbaric pleasure-seekers whose flesh was stuck with pins and shards of bone, and sorcerous champions like himself wielding demon-forged blades. The growing horde charged along the walkway. The fortress wall grew higher above them, and the monstrous gate hove into view, shimmering in the heat of the broad moat. A great arch, lined with iron teeth, it was sealed by a series of warped portcullises, each lowered one behind the other. Through the grill of the bars, Zuvius could see the warriors of Archaon, armoured silhouettes in thick plate mounted on fearsome steeds. They waited, weapons sheathed, seemingly unconcerned. They were confident in the Varenspire's defences. Zuvius snarled. He would make them pay for their arrogance and serve Archaon all the better for taking their place. No warrior would breach the Varenspire while the Prince of Embers stood in their path. Suddenly he was amongst bodies, the unfortunates who had failed to breach the Varenspire's defences before him. Zuvius would not fail. Their remains were trapped amongst a forest of iron shafts and ballista bolts embedded in the stone. Zuvius could feel the raging demons bound to the iron reach out for him in their fury. Savages and warriors who had shed their plate sprinted ahead of Zuvius, desperate to get out of the killing ground. They could not, however, for the fortress was designed with such desperation in mind. Within seconds, the vanguard of the horde was dead. Such was the power behind the crossbows and the infernal ballistas that within a blink demon-bound bolts and spears were thudding into the stone about them. Marauders were thrown off their feet by shafts that hammered into their chests. Black projectiles hit the ground about Zuvius's feet, while shards of stone showered him where the missiles from ballistas shattered the walkway. A demonic roar could be heard with their passing. Half-stifled screams and grunts of sudden death filled the air, as Chaos Warriors were impaled by the missiles and staked to the bridge. There was no avoiding such an onslaught. Malefax, who soared above the stabbing storm, had called it carnage. The bird had not been wrong. Aspiring champions, pledged to all manner of dark gods, died with brutal indifference. They had braved the lethality of the realms to reach the Varenspire, and now it was their undoing. Alongside them, Zuvius heard members of his own warband dying. He ran on through the forest of iron and the impaled warriors. The heart-stopping whoosh of a ballista bolt nicked Zuvius's ear and thudded straight through the battered breastplate of a Hexenguard knight. Zuvius heard the demon in the missile rip the armoured warrior apart in seconds. Step after feverish step took the Prince of Embers on towards the gate. It grew before him, its iron teeth threatening to swallow him whole. Madmen and driven warriors of darkness ran beside him. Behind them pounded a swollen Blight King of Nurgle, who seemed to soak up bolts and the Varenspire's demonic heralds with his diseased flesh. As they neared the gate, the hail of bolts from above began to ease. Confidence welled up once again in Zuvius and those about him. Suddenly, Sir Abriel's shield flashed before him. The Zinchian knight put his willowy fingers on Zuvius's chest to slow him. The prince heard the thud of several opportunistic bolts slam into the shield, demon iron that had been meant for him. He didn't usually waste sentimentality on the Hexen Guard, but immersed in the death and destruction, he found himself grinning hysterically at his father's former captain of the guard. When the ballista bolt came, it sheared the shield in two, and did much the same to Sir Abriel. Skewered through his ruined chest and down into the stone, the groaning knight was pinned. Zuvius wasted a few precious moments trying to pull Abriel free before coming to his senses. The knight was all but dead already. Zuvius would not end the same way.
"Sorry, old friend, but this is the price of entrance,"
the prince told the warped knight, as the bound demon ravaged what was left of him. With screams echoing about him, Zuvius ran for the gate. A huge cornate knight in baroque plate smashed into the portcullis with his colossal axe, causing the metal gate to shake. Feverish berserkers thrashed at the grill with their axes, while pus-swollen warriors of the Lord of Decay put their backs and bellies into lifting the colossal portcullis. It would not move, however, even if it had, two more lay behind it, as secure as the first. With a metallic squeal, the Hell Knights beyond the gates thrust the length of their fell spears through the gate grills and skewered the Chaos Champions, hammering to get in. With infernal discipline, the knights withdrew their weapons and allowed their victims to fall before thrusting forth and impaling those that took their place. Dark champions, filled with a warrior's ecstasy at surviving the sorcerous flames and the storm of bolts, threw themselves at the fortress gate. Sparks flew where their hammers bounced off demon-forged metal. Light-armored deviants, covered in tattoos, chains, and studs, reached through with their cruel blades, attempting to slash at the machinery that raised the gates. But nothing worked. Archaon's hellish garrison were ready for them. The interlopers would die at the gate. With a whoosh of steam, a foul liquid cascaded down the walls and turned the besiegers to screaming statues of melting flesh. All the while, the skin of champions blistered as they stumbled blindly through the diseased smoke of braziers. Zuvius felt the fight leaving the attacking horde. Even dread warriors such as these needed some expectation of success, but the Varen Spire gave them none. For a moment the prospect of braving the ballistas back across the walkway began to assume a grim appeal. Zuvius knew he had to rally the besiegers. He had to find an advantage.
"My sorcerers!" Zuvius called. "My unseeing, move on! Show me what you can see through this wretched gate!"
The Prince of Embers knew the cost of the sacrifice, and accepted it. Before the Varen Spire, and under the gaze of the Three-Eyed King, he had to relinquish the trappings of a Zinchian warrior. Those that fought for Archaon cared not for the dark gods they formerly served, or the warbands that in turn served them. Their only concern was the wish and whim of the ever-chosen of Chaos, for to be one of his knights was to forsake all other things. The unseeing moaned as they stumbled through the bodies before the gate. They flinched as they bumped into the grill and laid their gnarled hands on the bars. Several died immediately, the cruel points of fell spears bursting from their backs. Reaching through the warped grill, the wretch sorcerers struck out their palms. Tattooed symbols burned in their flesh as the horror of their visions was unleashed on the armoured warriors beyond. The screams of the Varen Spire's Hell Knights fortified the resolve of the faltering champions of Chaos trapped outside the fortress walls. Through the grill, Zuvius could see the twisted silhouettes that the unseeing had created. As a fresh cascade of boiling oil came down the towering walls, the sorcerers' screams joined those of their victims. Robes were set alight, and flesh was burned from bone.
"Get back!"
Zuvius called, gesturing to the knights of the Hexen Guard and the rest of the champions clustered at the gate. He raised his glaive. The gates would resist a sorcerous blast from the demon-forged weapon, but the stone of the wall might offer a different opportunity. He adjusted his aim, pointing the glaive to one side of the portcullis. The metal eye of the pommel opened, and Zuvius blazed a continuous stream of lightning at the wall. It crackled and glowed with the blinding power of the arcing blast. As the sorcerer's stream ceased, Zuvius walked up to the point of impact. All about the side of the portcullis, the stone of the gate had turned to a dark glass. Jabbing at the smouldering crystal with the pommel, the prince shattered the wall around the edge of the portcullis grate. The Hexen Guard filed through first. The Zinchian knights found only warped sculptures of mangled flesh, bone, and plate on the other side. The horde swarmed the opening, a Lord of Khorne pushing past in his blood-dripping cloak and great horned helm to lead the way. Newly filled with resolve and a desire both to impress the ever-chosen and destroy the unworthy among his servants, champions of all powers and patrons followed him. Zuvius watched pleasure-bound killers enter, armed with blades that glistened with poison. Hulking sacks of indomitable pestilence followed, with the cerulean-skinned warriors of Zinch. Barbarian berserkers, jangling with skulls, clawed at each other to be the first to the fighting within. They were a horde of unwitting puppets, all serving as a distraction for the Prince of Embers. As Zuvius entered and moved through the gallery of twisted death the Unseeing had sculpted in the Barbican, he found Malefax. The bird had risked the skybound furies to fly over the wall and gather intelligence for his master of the trials to come. "Speak," Zuvius commanded.
"Demons, my prince,"
Malefax told him, hopping from statue to statue.
"The legions of hell, fighting for the ever-chosen."
As the Barbican opened up onto another stone walkway, Zuvius found that his horde had run straight into the determined resistance of the Hell Knights, who had escaped the gaze of the Unseeing, and a throng of demon shock troops, things unleashed to immediately check the advance of any besieger entering the fortress. Beyond the Barbican troops, the Lord of Khorne had dived straight into combat, his cloak and monstrous axe wheeling about him in a spatter of blood. Inspired by his fearless example, the champions of other dark gods fell in behind him. The Chaos Lord was the point of a wedge that the Horde was driving through the ranks of savage, Vaerenspire demons. Horned plague-bearers tore warriors of Chaos limb from limb with their diseased claws. Pallid nightmares of claw and dread feminine form snapped off heads with cruel elegance. Fury-red fiends of horn and claw danced death through the horde, wielding hellblades in devastating arcs of destruction. The Lord of Khorne found himself fighting for his life against a trio of bloodletters, turning a storm of swords aside with brutal swings of his axe. No less devastating were Archaon's knights of ruin. Decked in plate of black and gold, they were broad and powerful, and thrust their fell spears through champions of Chaos, sometimes two or three at a time, impaling them like stuck boars. The Hexen Guard moved about their master, giving Zuvius the protection of their shields, while sweeping through lesser demons with long swords. As change blessed flesh and bone stretched, the arcs of the tapering blades surprised the infernal creatures and opened up throats and bellies. As a plague-bearer clawed through the Hexen Guard shields, the demon batted one of the knight's heads from his armoured shoulders with a diseased hand. It beat another to the ground with a fist, before pulling out a jagged, rusted cleaver and swinging it with droning abandon at Zuvius. Like his former patron, the Prince of Embers had a special hatred for the Lord of Decay's fetid demon foot soldiers. Bringing the blade of his glaive down, he knocked the creature's weapon to the floor before slicing its hand from its gangly arm. With the foul thing at a disadvantage, Zuvius brought the pommel of the glaive around to smash the demon in the face before turning the shaft in his hands and ramming the blade straight into its swollen belly. Pushing through the shields of his Hexen Guard protectors, Zuvius forced the plague-bearer back. Rot-infested entrails tumbled from the thing's cleaved form. Slamming it into the back of one of the Ever-Chosen's ruinous knights, Zuvius turned the glaive blade like a key, bursting the rest of its putrid organs. Feeling the blow, the Blood Knight turned round. Despite the weight of his thick plate, the warrior moved like a striking serpent, his ensorcelled blade a blur of runes and dark steel as it smashed Aquitas aside. The knight seemed drawn to the Prince of Ember's confidence and lethality, recognizing the competition. Perhaps, Zuvius thought, he had seen him issuing orders to the horde outside the gate and gain entrance with his crackling power. The knight stared at the prince through the eye-slits of his helm, the ornate headdress of metal horns thrumming with dark power. Zuvius felt the intensity of the knight's attentions. He was hungry for the kill. The prince's life was his to take, and every second Zuvius was allowed to breathe was a grievous insult to the ever-chosen of chaos. His sword was a stabbing, sweeping, cleaving instrument of cold steel. Relentless in the economic savagery of his attacks, the warrior backed Zuvius towards the Barbican wall, away from others of his warband and the horde that might help him. Away from the other dark knights of the fortress, who might take the honour of the kill. Working his glaive around, Zuvius turned the cuts and swings of the ensorcelled blade aside. The knight moved with incredible speed and assurance, pressing the prince to his limit. He felt the warrior's attacks burn with the desire to end him. Zuvius backed into the barbican wall, and sparks flew as the knight carved his blade into the stone. The prince ducked and weaved around into an alcove doorway.
"Expect to get no further," the knight hissed through his helm.
A half-ringing deflection knocked Zuvius's weapon aside. A brief stream of lightning scorched and crackled away to nothingness on the smooth stone. The knight had the measure of him now. He wouldn't allow Zuvius to press his sorcerous advantage. As the murderous thrusts and stabbing attacks forced Zuvius through the spike-inlaid doorway and up a crooked spiral of stairs, the prince felt the dread knight gearing up for the kill. Even with the advantage of higher ground, Zuvius could not get past the warrior's defensive sweeps. It was as though his weapon were part of him, moving with speed and force to knock the glaive aside. As the walls opened out onto a stone landing, Zuvius readied himself for the end. Archaon did indeed only select the very best warriors for his ranks. As their blades clashed and the knight backed Zuvius across the landing, Barbican archers in dark helms and with bare, scarred chests moved their bows, arrows, and ballistas across the stone floor. With the sound of battle within the walls alerting them to a breach, the archers were intent on moving their deadly weaponry over to the arrow slits on the other side of the landing, so that they could once more target the horde below.
"Think never to wear the dark plate of the Ever-Chosen," the unhallowed knight spat as he attacked.
Sparks lit up the landing as Zuvius turned the ensorcelled blade away, each deflection a little slower, each lethal lunge of the blade a moment closer to ending the prince. As they reached the end of the landing, Zuvius saw the knight's eyes widen with surprise and hostility. Instead of skewering Zuvius, the rune-encrusted blade pointed towards an archer standing behind the prince. Turning, the prince saw that the archer was standing next to an unloaded ballista, and was holding the heavy iron bolt above his head like a cudgel.
"This dubious honour is mine,"
the knight shouted at the archer, warning him off. Zuvius knew that this was his last chance. This knight of ruin, this warrior acolyte of the Destroyer of Worlds, would slay him. Touching the pommel of the glaive to the metal of the knight's weapon, Zuvius allowed the briefest stream of lightning to course through the blade. The sword leapt from the knight's gauntlet with a sudden shock and rattled across the floor away from them both. As the knight and Zuvius stared at one another, the sorcerer thrust the crowning blade of Aquitas back, stabbing the archer through the chest. Without looking, Zuvius listened for the cacophonous clatter of the heavy bolt on the floor. Zuvius knew what to expect next. The knight was so skilled with the sword, the prince wagered, that he wouldn't continue the combat without it. Grunting his hatred, the knight made a run for the ensorcelled blade. Zuvius was right behind him. With the haft of the glaive in both gauntlets, Zuvius thrust the weapon over the knight's head. As the warrior's ornate helm was knocked to the floor, Zuvius hauled him back. The knight reached for his blade, but it was just out of reach. Zuvius pushed the glaive's blade to the knight's throat, and the warrior was forced to grasp the weapon at his neck instead. Without his helm, Zuvius could see the knight was some kind of albino, with unnaturally pallid flesh. His mouth opened, gulping for air, and the sorcerer caught a brief glimpse of his black tongue and needle teeth as he bucked around. Like a tormented animal, the Dark Knight, who had been so deliberate in his murderous blade work, reared with Zuvius on his back and flung them both at the wall. Zuvius held on for his life as the knight backed and battered them both against the stone. Heaving the shaft of Aquitas ever closer, his arms burning with the effort, the prince felt something give, and the knight suddenly go limp. Riding the cascade of hell-forged plate and muscle to the ground, Zuvius held the knight there for a few moments longer, just to make sure. Getting to his feet, Zuvius turned his blade about in his gauntlets and struck the dread knight's head from his shoulders.
"You fought well," Zuvius told the corpse. "Just not well enough. The honour might have been yours, but the pleasure was mine."
Archers came around the corner, armed with their bows and improvised weapons. Turning Aquitas on them, Zuvius arced lightning from one killer to another, turning each into a wall-splattering eruption of blood. Leaning against the glaive, Zuvius took a moment to catch his breath. At the arrow slit, he heard the flap of wings. Malefax settled in the opening, watching his master with beady black eyes.
"Where have you been?" the prince asked.
"Our siege does not go well, my lord," Malefax squawked.
Zuvius went across to the arrow slit and peered down at the walkway leading from the barbican. The Varenspire's demonic shock troops were taking the Chaos Horde apart. The Hexenguard were all dead. Champions of different fell gods fought side by side against the Ever-Chosen's monstrosities, killing the dread things when they could. Only the Cornate Lord, in his blood-baroque armour and gore-drizzling cloak, seemed to be making headway. With his axe dripping with infernal ichor, the bodies of bloodletters, plague-bearers, and demonettes twitched at his feet. Zuvius thought on the mess he had made of the archers who had been about to open fire on the walkway.
"The siege goes better than it might," Zuvius corrected the bird.
Zuvius looked down on the horde below. The champions of chaos doomed to become little more than a demon-slain distraction. His gaze followed the walkway spanning the exterior wall and the next. While the Ever-Chosen's knights, sorcerers, and demons haunted the fortress corridors and clung to the architecture like warped gargoyles, the colossal courtyard in between blazed with torches, an assembly ground for monstrous hordes, led by countless champions and chaos lords who fought under Archaon's banner. They waited to be summoned to battle at the Ever-Chosen's order, somewhere in the mortal realms, while other armies of darkness arrived with the spoils of war to take their place. There was no way that the invading horde could fight through such numbers and horror. Zuvius would have to find another way. The Horde could still serve his interests as a timely distraction. He would not tolerate a challenger for the Ever-Chosen's attentions, however. Scooping up the iron bolt the archer had dropped on the floor, Zuvius loaded and cranked the ballista. He could feel the hate of the bound demon radiating off the cursed iron. Aiming the weapon down through the arrow slit, he lined it up with the back of the Cornate Lord that was still leading the fighting. Allowing the Blood God's champion to finish one of Archaon's black-armoured knights with a bludgeoning swing of his axe, Zuvius fired the ballista. Malefax flapped his wings at the sound and hopped onto the prince's shoulder. The iron bolt speared through the warrior's back and out from his chest, and the Lord of Chaos staggered. The released demon savaged at the warrior's soul, while a demonette leapt on him, scything with her claws. But the Cornate champion somehow fought on. Tearing the creature from his pauldron, the Chaos Lord smashed her into the ground. Falling to his knees, he took the legs out from beneath another demonette as she ran at him. Dropping his axe and falling onto all fours, the Cornate Lord was surrounded by stalking bloodletters. The demons waited for a moment and then pounced, tearing into the Blood God's champion with horn and claw, pulling free his skewered heart and snarling skull.
"What now, my prince?" Malefax asked.
"Now we find the Ever-Chosen of Chaos," the Prince of Embers told him.
The Varenspire. Orfeo Zuvius negotiated the leagues of fang-lined battlements. He stood in the monstrous claws of tower turrets, watching greater demons on the wing, hunting furies in the storm-racked skies. In search of Archaon, Zuvius explored the citadel, its towering heights and corrupting depths. There, all the Chaos Gods and Archaon, as their undisputed champion, were celebrated. Shrines and temples dedicated to the ruinous powers turned Zuvius's heart black. Labyrinthine libraries of sorcerous tomes threatened to claim years of his life, while crowded fighting pits were places of perpetual death. Zuvius walked through miles of corridors sizzling with dark intent. He found lavish chambers that were nests of writhing demon flesh, and stagnant ruins in which time almost stood still. Indeed, the heart of the Vaeran Spire barely seemed to observe the natural laws at all, an architectural nightmare crafted in darkness, stone, and fire. On the courtyard expanses, he passed beneath banners depicting the symbols of the Ever-Chosen and the unruly hordes of ruin. Spawn, savages, chaos knights, enslaved monstrosities, charismatic champions and dark warlords, all serving dread Archaon. Malefax warned his prince of lesser demons and infernal beasts haunting the fortress corridors ahead. While the diversionary sacrifice of his warband and the besieging horde had allowed Zuvius within the Vaeran Spire's walls, it had been his patience and cunning that had allowed him to traverse the walkways and courtyards, the ramparts and corridors. When he needed to, the prince murdered with silent impunity, strangling the lesser guards of the fortress garrison with the Akutas haft, and stabbing the blade up under chins, through backs, and into helms. With every treacherous blow, Zuvius got nearer to his goal, until he walked straight through the monstrous gates of the citadel spire itself. Malefax hopped and flapped down empty corridors ahead of his master. Lost in this hellscape, each twist, turn, deathly drop, and corrupting flourish was dedicated to the Ever-Chosen of Chaos. Only the strangest of demonic creatures stalked the dreamlike depths, feverish abominations writhing with tentacle, demon monstrosities that struggled to keep their form, erupting with mouths and limbs that spewed forth sorcerous flame, drove Zuvius on through the insanity. Magical hellfire not only thundered up corridors and through chambers, but scorched the very nature of reality itself. Zuvius stumbled away from the heat, light, and sound, driven down into one corridor and then the next, until he could no longer escape the corruptive bloom of demon flame coming at him from all directions. As the booming inferno enveloped him, Zuvius simultaneously lost and found himself. Blinking the nightmare from his eyes, the Prince of Embers stumbled across a gargantuan chamber of black marble that he couldn't remember having entered before. It was dark magnificence given form. Malefax hopped and staggered behind him across the polished floor. A forest of colossal pillars rose to the ceiling, and Zuvius stumbled between them. Into each was crafted the horror of screaming faces. Pushing himself between two pillars, Zuvius suddenly caught sight of the back of a monstrous throne, a thing sculpted of darkness and ossified ambition, a thing that radiated unholy power and struck a chord of dread in the Prince of Ember's heart.
"This is it," Zuvius said to Malefax.
"This is a throne room fit for the Ever-Chosen of Chaos, a place of doom and dark majesty. We've made it, Malefax." Zuvius staggered about the corruptive splendour of the throne, keeping his distance as he moved around in front of it. The throne itself was blinding in its dark brilliance, and the prince found himself crashing to his knees in exhaustion and dread.
"Mighty Archaon,"
Zuvius managed, his helmet off and forehead to the floor.
"You have summoned, and I have answered. I have travelled far and fought hard in your name, all to take a place at your unholy side. Archaon, Ever-Chosen of Chaos, destroyer of worlds and men, I supplicate myself before you. I pledge myself to you in bringing an end to this world and all others."
"You seek Archaon,"
a voice came, burning with age and sorcerous power. Zuvius brought up his head and stared into the radiating darkness. He got the impression of a gaunt figure rising from the throne, at one with the unholy dread of the object. It walked down the steps towards the kneeling Zuvius. The prince rubbed the darkness from his eyes. He could make out a skeletal figure and sorcerer's robes. The thing's features were warped and blinked with a thousand eyes. Zuvius burned under its fell gaze.
"I seek Archaon," Zuvius confirmed,
holding his hand out in front of him to ward against the darkness and getting to his feet.
"In a fortress he has barely set foot in,"
the sorcerer said,
"before a throne upon which he has never sat."
"Archaon is not here?"
"And never shall be."
"I don't understand," Zuvius told the sorcerer honestly. "I am..."
"You are blind and foolish,"
the sorcerer said.
"That is all that matters. How came you to be in this place?"
"I followed the crows," the Prince of Embers said.
"For where the ever-chosen treads, the crows indeed follow," the sorcerer said.
Zuvius heard it, faint at first, the distant flapping of wings, the caws of hungry carrion birds. The sound grew, booming about the cavernous chamber. Suddenly they were everywhere, birds black of feather and sharp of beak. A storm of crows swarmed through the pillars in all directions, flying at Orfeo Zuvius, the Prince of Embers. A squawking Malefax was lost in the thunder of the flock. Zuvius was lifted from the ground, but remained in place, being shredded from all angles. They ripped his armour from his form and tore at his skin with their beaks and talons. Zuvius screamed as they pulled the remaining hair from his scalp and his eyes from their sockets. Like a torrent of darkness, they baptized him in death. Zuvius crashed back down to the marble floor. Black feathers floated down beside him, an agony on his raw flesh. He felt blood spill down his face from the empty sockets and drip to the floor. He heard Malefax squawk his misery from nearby.
"My prince,"
the bird said, but got no further. The sorcerer moved painfully close to the Prince of Embers and leaned in, causing Zuvius, blind, to angle his head awkwardly this way and that, trying to fix on the presence.
"Your trials are over," the sorcerer told him.
Orfeo Zuvius didn't know whether to laugh or cry. Instead, he settled on a dumbfounded silence.
What did you expect? Some kind of dark coronation? The ever-chosen of chaos here to recognize you personally for your dread service? Service to Almighty Archaon is recognition enough.
Zuvius nodded slowly in his private agony.
Don't worry,
the sorcerer said as he left him, the horror of his voice growing distant. His words were laced with a dark amusement.
There are none so blind as those that will not see.
The Prince of Embers knelt there, the sorcerer's parting words echoing horribly about the colossal chamber. They were everywhere, melting into his mind behind the empty sockets of his eyes. There, on his knees before the empty throne, Orfeo Zuvius came to know the true nature of damnation. He had forsaken all in his search for the ever-chosen of chaos, and Archaon, in turn, had forsaken him. Letting the torturous darkness, where his eyes used to be, sink down into his soul, the Prince of Embers became one with the potent doom of the place, the wicked laughter of insanity, a haunting whisper in the fortress depths, a cautionary tale never told. Blood and Plague by David Annandale. In a dead land, the cold arena waited. Echoes of battles past and civilizations forgotten lined its cliff walls. The land did not remember the glories that had been. It remembered their loss. It remembered their fall. And it muttered to itself with the whisper of tombs. The whispers spread across the floor of the arena. Broken archways, depressions of absent foundations, doors to emptiness, eroded walls faded to nothing, sentences trailing off into silence. Above the cold arena, on a projecting spur of rock, a sorcerer watched the whispers. He watched the land beyond. He watched as the waiting came to an end. The many-eyed servant faced south, seeing much further than the arena. The carriers of his vision flew over the land. A multitude of fragments became a composite panorama of the battle to come. From the east and west, warbands approached through the canyons of vanished waterways and time-gnawed sepulchres of civilizations.
"They are almost here," he said.
Heavy footsteps crunched the stone behind him. A presence loomed at the demon's back. The many-eyed servant's master had come. He said nothing, but the demon sensed his satisfaction. The Ever-Chosen had arrived to witness the final display. "Where have you brought us?" Copsis Buell thought before answering. Thistula's words were less a question than an accusation. They had marched for a day and a night since passing through the gate. Until now, Thistula had said nothing to challenge the Lord of Plague's command. Since their escape from the Seraphon, Thistula had been less and less inclined to hide his anger and impatience. The Blight Lord had for a time been willing to accept that abandoning a second battle to the Stormcast Eternals was the right price to pay for the greater glory of joining the forces of Archaon. But that promise still showed no sign of being fulfilled. Instead, they travelled through nothing. The land was cracked, bare stone. The gate had brought the Rotbringers to the floor of a wide, twisting canyon. The riverbed had dried out centuries before. The journey between the cliffs took them through the traces of fallen cities and immense, fading graveyards. There was no life at all. Buell had abandoned a realm bursting with the gifts of Nurgle's garden for a wasteland. No disease could flourish here. There was nothing here to decay. There was only the slow erosion of wind and the fading into a greater silence. The groans of this realm's flesh had been spent long ago. But this was the way. The call of Archaon was as clear to Buell now as it had been mysterious before. The land held no promise, yet Buell followed the certainty of destiny.
"We are where we must be," he said. "I have not brought us here. Archaon has. The blessing of Grandfather Nurgle has. There is no reason for anger, Thistula. Rejoice instead and learn patience."
Thistula fought well, but he had too little experience of the larger ebb and flow of war. Plague waxed and waned, but in the end it consumed all. To deny this was to fail to understand the nature of disease. Rage was useful, but had its limitations. Buell's exhortation had little effect. The blisters on Fistula's bald head crowded each other with suppurating anger. Buell watched Fistula's grip tighten on his blades. He gauged the other Rotbringer's stance.
"Are you going to attack?" Buell wondered.
He followed his own counsel and remained patient. His armour was heavier than Fistula's. He had the advantage of bulk. He could absorb a first blow. But there was no need to precipitate a struggle. Ahead lay glory for all. He would lead by example.
"You don't hear the call?" Buell asked.
"No."
More anger in that single word.
"Then put your faith in the path we have followed. From one retreat to another. The call I heed led us to that gate. Now it takes us to a culmination."
Fistula grunted, but he plodded on. Buell looked back over the rest of the band. It was a much smaller horde now, consisting of only those who had followed him into the polluted river to find the gate beneath the foundations of the human's temple. The newly constructed symbol that rejected Nurgle's gifts had concealed in its heart a cancer, the key to a greater victory. The loss of the rest of the warband, abandoned to the Stormcasts, had been a small price. Patience would see the coming of a greater bloom. Of this, Buell was sure. Did the rest of his warriors share this certainty? Did they have faith, or did they doubt, like Fistula? He pushed the question aside. Though the canyon stretched onward, twisting in its grey death, The summons was clear to him. The flies that birthed from his head and swarmed about him buzzed with greater intensity. Faith would soon no longer be necessary. It would give way to proof. If not around the next bend, then the one after that. The march through desolation would end soon. Buell lengthened his stride. His gut bounced and roiled with his steps. Putrid gases rose from the rotting sores in his flesh. The garden was alive in him, and he would see it flourish in service to Archaon. There were too many silences. Some were offensive to Ushkarmir. Others were dangerous. The snarl of his breath tried to fill the silence of the land. The absence of blood and fire was a frustration so intense it was agony. He saw bones, he saw skulls, but they were old, meaningless. They crumbled to nothing beneath his steps, giving off puffs of grey dust. There was no war here. If there had been violence once, even its memory was buried in stone. The emptiness of the canyon and the emptiness of the days, these were the silences that offended the exalted Deathbringer. It was the silence of Danavan Vool that was a potential threat. The Bloodstoker had said nothing for many hours now. With each day that had passed since Mir's last trial, each day absent of any foe, each long day in the empty land, Vool had said less. They were still in the realm of death. The longer the march had gone on through this cursed canyon, the more Vool's silence had expressed his doubts about the direction the blood slaves were taking. His face was hidden by his helmet. In his heavy crimson armour, he marched with a steady gait, leaning forward as if ready to break into a charge. Ushkarmir monitored his every step out of the corner of his eye. He was braced for an attack. He contemplated killing Vool, terminating the threat before it declared itself. He would have already done so were it not for the call. Archaon's summons pulled him forward. He would find the Ever-Chosen here, and soon. There was battle in this realm, and Archaon was at its forefront. The scent of war and bloodshed had brought him this far. It was immaterial whether the rest of the warband felt the summons too. Destiny was close, and the moment was coming when there would be an enemy to shatter. Mir stayed his hand. In doing so, he surprised himself. Regardless of Vool's anger, his ambition was obvious and dangerous. He resented Mir's status as one of the exalted. He made no secret of that, and obeyed orders with grudging reluctance. 2 days ago, Mir would have treated the prospect of a prolonged period without a foe as intolerable. He would have assumed Vool would move against him. He would have killed Vool at the first opportunity. Now he didn't. For perhaps the first time in his life, another goal superseded self-preservation. The greatest need was to find Archaon and to become his champion. To achieve that goal would make him stronger yet, ensuring his survival and perhaps the immortality of his name. But now he wondered if perhaps he was reaching for something even greater than that. To fight alongside a being who refused to be the vassal of any single god would be a personal victory beyond any other. The brass band over his eyes burned his flesh. The endless pain of the metal and the miracle of his continued sight were perpetual reminders of his unwilling allegiance. Khorne owned him. His existence was devoted to the reaping of skulls for the Blood God, and so it would ever be, until he could achieve his vengeance. But to be a champion of Archaon, to be among the number who fought for chaos under the banner of the warrior who was a force unto himself, there would be pride in that achievement. There was no such thing as redemption. The concept was meaningless. He had witnessed the immolation of all such hope. He would grasp instead the chance to shed blood no longer for the sole benefit of Khorne. The prospect of soon standing before Archaon subsumed all other thought, and so he kept his eye on Vuel. But he did not instigate the duel. He had no patience for such a pointless delay. Even his axes were eager to reach their destination. Bloodspite, black as old blood, and Skullthief, red as a fresh arterial fountain, each containing a bloodletter demon. The perpetual rivals for greater slaughter vibrated with their hunger, and they pulled him forwards. They too wished to fight for Archaon. Let Vuel stew in impotent rage. Let him witness the truth. The canyon took another turn, and beyond it, revelation unfolded. It opened up into a vast bowl, with a second entrance to the west. A great host lined the top of the north wall, but from the floor of the arena he could not judge its full size. It extended along the entire wall of the arena, and he could hear the clamour of ranks upon ranks. Black smoke rose in the distance, and from somewhere in that direction came the screams and moans of prisoners. Mir had never beheld such an army before. He saw exalted Deathbringers and Skullgrinders. He saw a warrior in huge and terrible crimson armour, a warrior who could only be a Lord of Khorne. And these powerful servants of the Blood God stood beside those sworn to the Plague Father and the Changer of Ways, and the Lost God of Excess. Vuel even saw the tall, angular shape of one of the Great Horned Rat's corruptors. The most powerful Knights of Chaos in all its forms were gathered in a unity Mir could barely comprehend. They looked down upon him, and they waited, for they did not command. They followed a being greater than all of them.
"I never imagined," said the Slaughter Priest Otto.
He, who had been so confident in his preaching of Khorne's will, was at a loss. "You serve Khorne utterly," Mir thought. "This army serves Archaon. You knew this was our goal, but you never imagined. Is your faith inflexible, Slaughter Priest? Can it not survive paradox?" Below the host, a stone staircase descended to the floor of the arena. The staircase was huge. Its width took up half the cliff. It was badly eroded. It had become a majestic ghost. A narrow spur projected far into the air from the centre of the north wall. On it stood a towering figure in black armour. Archaon. And at the sight of that being, that supreme warrior of chaos, Mir too thought, "I never imagined." The Ever-Chosen spoke. Buell guessed what he would say. The Lord of Plagues saw the other warband enter the arena at the same time as his. Even though Buell knew the test that lay ahead, Archaon's words rooted him to the spot. The voice, terrible in power, echoed across the arena. It was more than the voice of destiny. It was the voice of a being